Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Hey guys, welcome back to the Art of Craftsmanship podcast. My name is Dustin O'Hara, and I'm here with my brother and co-host, Devin.
Hello!
Hello, hello.
And we get more intense each week.
I like it, yeah. Eventually, hello!
Hello! Turn down your radios.
All right, Dev, what you got?
We must all, indeed, all hang together, or, most assuredly, we shall all hang separately. Any guess on who would do it, or who would say something like that?
We must all indeed hang together, unless. I'm thinking that seems like a war era quote.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I don't know the war era. That would, maybe like a Churchill.
Older, and he's an inventor.
Okay. Thomas Edison. No. No, what's his name? the guy from Monticello?
What's that? I don't know.
Adam? I can't.
Oh,
remember.
John Adams, you mean?
No, not Adams. Who's the president from Monticello? Or is that like, I forget.
Monticello.
Who do you got?
It is Benjamin Franklin.
That's him. That's what I was thinking about. Yeah, Benjamin Franklin has his house is Monticello, and he has all the inventions and stuff. Oh,
yeah, so
that's what I was thinking. Edison, I was like, because it's an inventor, but not Edison. I was like, yeah.
And Edison wasn't really in wartime.
Right, yeah.
But yeah, Ben Franklin, you know, that obviously, we're going to talk about collaborations and projects working with other people, and that is the most intense version of teamwork and collaboration. Yeah, I was looking up quotes for teamwork and they're also corny. I almost did like that. There's no I in team, and just wanted to see how you like. Oh, that's yeah.
I know.
That
yeah,
one.
Good. Okay. I know.
Wow, that's really
there is
deep.
A me though.
But that's wartime. That's him talking about obviously the American Revolution and states sticking together and everyone not splitting up and fighting the British, but right. You know, that can be for normal stuff. It's just saying you're stronger together, or you'll get picked apart one by one by yourself.
Right. Yeah. We can hang together or we can hang separate. Like you can do what you want, but we're going to do better hanging together.
Right.
We're going to do better if we hang together. It's almost that song, right?
What?
I'd like you better if we slept together. It's so, what's the song like from the 80s or something? I'd like you better if we slept together. I feel like it's a girl singer, like the what's it called, the cherry bomb, cherry bomb.
Joan Jett.
Yeah, maybe Joan Jett or something. I forget. I feel like it's a girl's voice, but I could be completely wrong. I'm sure someone will shout us out. They'll be like, "What are you talking about? It's this song." I think it's a girl's voice.
Either
like, you
either we
slept together.
Either we sleep together or sleep alone.
It's always better together.
It is always better together.
Yeah, that's good. I like that quote.
I sighed about Joan Jett. Used to be my wife's like favorite artist when she was like five. But if you ever listen to Joan Jett, all her lyrics are real dirty, you know. And there's like one like, "I want to be your dog," you know, like really dirty. And she would be singing. Yeah. She just thought it's about dogs and stuff, you know. Like,
oh, that's so funny, man. That's hilarious. Like, I can imagine her doing that. "I want to be your dog." Like, all right,
be your dog. Like, oh no, no. But apparently she used to love that album, and I bought it for her on vinyl, so now we have it.
That's like that, nice.
And one day my daughter can sing inappropriate lyrics, pass on the tradition.
I remember I was in middle school, maybe sixth grade, and I think it's the song, I think it's Old Dirty Bastard, or somebody sings a song that's like, "Oh baby, I like it raw, oh baby, I like it." Is that? And I was like singing that walking down the hallway, but I didn't know what it meant. I was like, because it was like on the radio on the bus or something coming to school. And I remember like an eighth grade girl was like, "Do you even know what that means? Why are you singing that?" And I was like, and then it like dawned on me what it meant. I was like, oh. I was just like singing it because it was stuck in my head. "Oh, baby, I like it. Oh." I felt so shitty. Yeah. I was like, I don't know what it means. I'm a little baby. I'm an innocent sixth grader.
Yeah, I remember a girl said, "You're a prude," and I didn't, you know, of course I denied it, but I didn't know what it was.
I'm not a prude.
And maybe the fact that I didn't know what it was maybe proved, but what little boy's a prude? Like, boys will do anything. What are you talking about?
And how are you going to call a little boy a prude anyway?
Right. Like, I mean, it was like, it was probably eighth grade, so some...
Yeah, right.
That's like the age when you hear like a rumor that like, oh, someone had sex. You're like, oh my gosh, it begins. Right.
Oh man, whoa, they're experienced.
Ooh. That's intense.
You're a prude.
She's a woman now. Look at her.
She's tainted.
But I don't know why I'm drawn to her more now. This is weird. What's going on?
Yeah, right.
She seems
She's a
nice.
Woman now. She seems nice. Hello. She's
it'll
friendly.
Be my friend. Nice. Oh, boy. But, yeah, I don't know. It's a cool quote. It's the most intense version of teamwork you'll ever have. Is
yep.
We got to fight these guys together or we'll all be destroyed one by one.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. What have you been up to, Dev? It's been a little bit since we've been working because we've both been busy and working in the shop, I should say.
Right. Yeah. Before we start, I want to say what I'm drinking is a margarita, so I apologize if there's some like clinking and clanking. We usually do non iced and non glass drinks beverages.
Right. Exactly. So margarita. We'll tell you how are you making your margarita?
Well, for one, the secret is, folks, is you got to juice your own limes. You cannot use the green sour mix. I mean, you can, but it's just...
It's a completely different drink, almost.
It's a totally different drink. There's a, obviously, a freshness and a fruitiness, that you need fresh. So you just got to juice a bunch of limes and also juice, pick a sweetener to throw in there.
Oh, okay.
So that's either simple sugar... Or, so simple sugar is just sugar and water, and throw it in the microwave, stir it up, and it's like a syrup, right?
Simple syrup, yep.
Oh, you're right, that's what I meant. and then do your own limes. You need a sweetener, so that's throw in a couple oranges juiced, or we did pomegranate juice for a while.
Nice.
So you have these kind of pomegranate margaritas, and they're really good, but we kind of overdid them. So we're like, let's just go do the standard. And standard, since you use, obviously, tequila and orange liqueur, the orange works perfect with it. It doesn't necessarily stand out, but it's a nice, it's a sweetener.
Oh, okay. So you did lime juice, simple syrup.
No.
For the
no
one
syrup.
You're drinking, would you do? So you did
no
lime juice.
No sugar.
Okay.
It's just lime juice, orange juice, orange liqueur, and tequila.
Okay.
All right. That's it, man. Nice. That's all it takes. It's such a simple drink. Yeah. And then, you know, a little salt on the rim if you want. And
yeah. I never
really good.
I've never made my own margarita. I've drank a bunch of other people's good margaritas. Mm. There's like summer party margarita, which is everything done in the blender and with the lime, you know, like the frozen limeade stuff. Oh, yeah. And the, you know, you kind of put it all together and it makes like a nice slushy. You're in the middle of the summer, it's hot, you're drinking it floating on a raft or something. That's our Lake George drink is margaritas, frozen margaritas. And then Liz, my friend Liz, who is actually in our smithy build video helping out, she and Brian, her husband, make a really good margarita, and they do the same thing. Juice the limes right then, and then tequila, and then whatever. Like, it's not a very sweet one. So what do you use? What's like the base? Is it like triple sec or something?
Mm-hmm.
Tequila, triple. Okay.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Yeah. So I think that's, yeah, just like tequila, triple sec, and limes, and then, yeah, the salt rim.
And limes and orange, put orange in there, or a fruit, okay, for a sweetener. But orange is usually the other thing in the, if there's going to be something, it's orange liqueur and orange juice.
Right, yeah.
But yeah,
I like just, it. I like it just straight, like tequila, triple sec, and lime juice.
Oof. You know,
with the salt. That's good.
Yeah.
Nice and tart.
Oh, yeah. Yep. But.
Well, I am drinking, so earlier, I'll tell you what I was drinking earlier, and I'll tell you what I was drinking right now. So earlier, I was drinking Natty Bo.
Mm-hmm.
For our friends listening who are not from Baltimore, that's National Bohemian Beer, Natty Bo, which is a good Baltimore beer, brewed since 1885. First brewed in 1885. And earlier, I just, in a pint glass, I'll usually squeeze a couple limes or just squirt some lime juice or put a dash of orange juice or lemonade or something in the bottom. And then, so I'm almost like making a shandy, but not nearly the same proportions as like a shandy. So,
right.
And that makes it so much better. Like I always do, like I always do a lime or something, throw it into the can. And so right now I'm just drinking just straight Natty Bo.
Oh, man.
From the can right here in front of me.
It's hard to go down from that.
Yeah. But it's just a good staple. You know, it's a good, easy drinking beer and, I had in the fridge. I actually have other beers in the fridge, too.
It's our local cheap beer.
Yeah.
So if you ever have it and you hear us like, oh, they talked about this great beer from Baltimore, it's just a kind of light-ish style, like anything.
Yeah.
But you kind of get used to the taste if you're just like any state. Everyone has their kind of cheaper local beer.
PBR or, you know, Milwaukee's Best, whatever it is, wherever you are. It's like the local beer that's not just Bud Light or Coors Light or Miller Light, you know.
But you can get a 30-pack for like
$20.
$15 to $20.
Yeah, right. Yeah, exactly. And that's what we did last night. We raced our sailboat and one of our crew members, Kim, brought a 30-pack of Natty Bo. She ended up leaving a little bit early, so I took the additional, I think it was like 5 or 6 left in the box from the crew. We have, 5, 4, 5, 6 of us between a 30-pack. Not bad.
There you go.
Yeah.
So I just went up and met my best friend. He just had a little son, a little baby boy, so we went up there and met little junior, and that was real nice. Aww. We ate outside. We brought him some pizza and some lasagna they can freeze that my wife made for him. And
nice.
Yeah, it was real nice. And we, you know, had my daughter there and everyone. She was real curious looking at the baby, and and I was like, for once, she's not the smallest, or I was thinking this is the only time she's ever looked big to me.
Next
to a 1-month-old, you know.
Look at this giant. Yeah, right.
I was like, wow, she's big. But that was really nice. And I'm editing the. I guess we haven't really talked about it, or maybe we did.
Yeah. I can't remember if we did or not. I think we may have mentioned it to Tim last week.
Okay. Yeah. The shop elf. She wanted an axe, so Dustin made a. Or hung a nice, what kind of plum boys?
It's a plum, plum national hatchet. Plum national pattern scout hatchet.
And made a Osage orange handle from his wonkiest stave.
Yeah, right, exactly.
So hopefully people don't get too pissed. Like, oh man, I would kill for a stave. You know, people are paying like $100 for it, and he just chops it in half. But
makes an axe handle out of it.
it's perfect axe handle stuff.
Yeah, but, it is. It's going to make two more great hatchet handles too.
So I've been editing that, and maybe I'll be able to get it done by Sunday. I'm not sure, but it's going well. And I've been working, doing the baseball games, and riding around in my truck and having
fun. Enjoying your new truck. Oh, yeah.
So people, or maybe you didn't listen last week. Anyway, I got a F-150 2012, nice full-size truck. I'm loving it, but right after I bought, you know, a gas guzzler, the whole pipeline thing.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Where gas is going to skyrocket, you can't get gas. I was like, of course.
Now
I got this truck that I can only get, you know, like 16 miles a gallon. Like, man.
of course
that would happen.
Yeah, nah, what are you gonna do? Yeah, that's funny. That's, yeah, it is sweet though, man. You came over and I checked out. It was nice. That's real nice.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, it's fun. I got a few things I got to get for it, and a couple things, and I mounted the little phone holder on the thing, which is nice. Here's a free recommendation. Obviously, if it's a new vehicle, you just have your center display and you don't need it. Well, you still probably need your phone holder to keep it near you. But anyway, there's, I forget the name. Maybe we can put in the link below or something, or I'll tell you next week. Just look for a phone holder that has an automatic clamp on the back of it. The second you push your phone into it, it's springed to clamp down on your phone.
Right. Yeah.
So you don't have to like grab it with two hands and put anything. You just press it against the thing. It goes click. Yep. And to take the phone off, you push the buttons together. So that's one handed too, just to take it off. So you're as you're releasing it, you're also preparing it to clamp down for next time. Right.
Ah, nice.
So it's just it's like the best phone holder I've ever. It works great, and it's got like a telescoping arm, so it can kind of turn and be and stretch and go low or high.
Cool.
It's wherever you want it to be.
Yeah.
It's great.
Yeah, we have the magnet version. Mm-hmm. It just has like the round magnet, which is actually really nice too. Yeah, like, it worked really well. I mean, I recently got a new phone and have a new phone case, and I don't have my magnet anymore. So, I think they come with a couple magnets, but it and ours was like a suction onto the dash, which worked okay as well for a while, and then it started to come loose a little bit. And we probably it comes with like a little bit of an adhesive thing that you could put on, but we didn't really want to do that. So.
Yeah, I did the adhesive thing.
Yeah, yeah, we considered it, and we may have still done it, but Nicole drives it most often, and she doesn't care. And so, I do like when I'm driving and I'm like traveling somewhere, and there's directions. I like to be able to see the map.
Yeah.
As opposed to having someone direct me, being like, "All right."
Oh yeah, you know, I hate that.
You're coming up. You got a turn coming up. Well, like. No. I'm a visual person, so I want to be able to see it. Like, I want to see, like, how close I'm getting to it. So I like being able to see it. So I'll usually end up, you know, if I know I'm coming up close to something, I'll just kind of grab my phone and put it in my lap, and I'll kind of hold it up and look at it occasionally. But I did like having the holder up there so I could actually see it right there. So we'll see.
Yeah. Yeah. What have you been up to?
As far as my truck is going, my new truck, I still don't have it. still don't have it because we're still waiting on the title to come from the MVA. So they couldn't find the original title or whatever, so they're having it, ordered a new one, and we're waiting for that. Usually it's like 3 to 5 days, which would have been from last Sunday. So now it's been... Let's see. That was like a week and a couple days ago. and now they're, I guess, you know, they said it could have been anywhere up to like 3 to 5 days, but depending on the, you know, post and whatnot, it could be a week, week and a half. So, Troy, who is the guy I'm buying it from, he and his girlfriend are up at a wedding in New York, and they'll be back on Saturday. So hopefully when they get back, it'll be there.
Yeah.
And then I'll get it. So, but I'm borrowing Dad's truck for the meantime. So. I'm not worried about my truck breaking down somewhere between here and work. It's sad to be like, put it aside. I love that truck, but you know, it is what it is. So we're almost there. I'm waiting on it. Other than that, I think I talked, did I talk about the axe that I stole from, I think I did from our, from the boat yard. Did I tell you about that?
I don't think so.
Yeah, so the boatyard that hosts, I think I may have the boatyard that hosts us, the North Point Sailing Association, what we race with on Wednesdays. After I guess it was last week's race, or there was the race got canceled last week because it was super super high winds. It was like gusts of up above 30, which is really too much for just recreational racing. So we had. We do it once a month. First week of the month, we do a cookout amongst the sailing association. Everybody comes in. We do a cookout. It's all paid for by our dues and stuff from each year. So the cookout night was anyway. So we skipped the race and we all did the cookout. And after a while, I'm standing there and I look over and I just see an axe on this kind of broken, chipped out handle leaning against the outside of the boathouse. Now the boathouse is like decked out with like some antique stuff on the walls and stuff. So it's our clubhouse is kind of, it has that kind of look, you know? And so yeah. At first I didn't think about it right away because it was this kind of grayish handle. And I was like, oh, that's just some weathered wood. And then I realized it was an axe handle. So I went over and looked at it. And sure enough, it was an axe. It was a craftsman, a Michigan pattern Craftsman axe, full size, on like, you know, a broken handle basically. So I was looking around for the owner of our marina, Aunt Stewart. I can't remember his last name off the top of my head, but Aunt, it's his. So I was looking around for it. I didn't see it. So I just grabbed it and threw it in the back of my truck with the intention to like take it and restore it and bring it back. And I was like, oh, that'd be kind of funny if I just bring it back, like restored and perfect, and just lean it back where it was, like all sharpened and clean and done. And also I did end up seeing, I found him later. So I let him know what I was doing, but, I did work on that. So I got the head all restored and cleaned up and sharpened. That's ready to go. I need to put it on a handle now, but,
but if he's
that was fun.
That was my grandfather's axe. Like, I didn't want anything. You cut his hand. He made that handle by himself. I said by hand.
No, yeah.
You're brand new and cleaned up. Like, nah.
What are you doing? No, I did. Like I said, I did talk to him beforehand, and then I actually posted a picture on Instagram, so you guys may have seen it already. But I posted the picture, and he actually commented on it on Facebook and was like, "That's my old rusty axe. That's crazy." So kind of fun. So that was fun. Got down to the shop and did that.
I took that old rocking chair you had and put a nice fresh coat of paint on it. Looks much better now.
Yeah, now it's usable. What were you doing? Yeah. No. Yeah. And yesterday I worked with one of the most annoying materials I've ever worked with. So on our boat, we have, there's the outside of the boat where the lifelines are. If you've ever been on a sailboat, there's just like metal posts, and then between each of the metal posts there's a cable, like, you know, plastic wrapped cable that's called lifelines. And those are, instead of having like walls on the side of a fishing boat, you have like the actual sides of the boat. In a sailboat you have lifelines, so that way you can kind of, you know, you can lean out real far and stuff on each side. And so then inside the lifelines there's like a little step up where the cabin is underneath the boat. And on the top of that step, which is maybe, you know, 3 inches on the top of it, there's what used to be a wooden rail along the whole side. That's like a handrail that you can hold on. And it's flush with the level of the step, but it's a handrail there. So it gives you something to kind of hold on to. You can hold on the lifeline. You can hold on that handrail when you move forward and back. When we got the boat, it was pretty much like gone, worn out. So it lasted a season, but then it was starting to come apart and chip and splinter and stuff. So we took it off completely, and then we replaced it with a plastic rail. But so we bought this chunk of plastic, and I don't remember off the top of my head what type of material it was specific, but it was like 3.5 inches wide by 1 inch thick by 12 feet long, because each piece was like 11 feet 3 inches. And it's fine material. It's soft. It's easy to work, but it's almost too soft. Like, I had to rip it on the table saw. And it has a taper on one side, so it's a rectangle. Each piece is an inch and 5/8 wide by an inch tall, because I ripped it down the middle, so I had to rip it in two. And then it has, like, across the top, it tapers down from the top down to the outside. So it's like a rectangle with a curve on one corner. So when I cut it, instead of ripping it in two and then trying to cut that taper on the one side, I left it wide and I cut the taper on both sides before I cut it. So I cut it on both sides of the 3.5 inch piece of material.
Yeah.
And because it's so long and it's so flexible, I had Corinne helping me from behind. She was like, you know, holding that end, but then trying to put it into my table saw, which is just a portable table saw. So it's not like, doesn't have a big outfeed table or anything, and trying to keep it straight, and any little bump, it would like, you know, gouge into it and stuff. It was like, oh, so annoying to work with. It was too soft, too flexible. And then on top of all that, so then I was like hand planing areas down to get it rounded over instead of just like a single taper and off after I cut it in half, which worked fine. And then, I had to like, just on my work table, I was working for a while, and then I realized it was getting all dirty because I was like sanding it, and the extra texture was just like holding any dirt, and I like couldn't get it off. And I was like, I was getting so frustrated, like this stuff, and any like sanding or cutting, it just made all this like the tiny, just sawdust, but plastic dust like all over the place. I was like, ugh, so annoying. But in the end, it actually worked out really well. We took it down and I actually drilled all the holes that had like, you know, an assortment of holes along it, holding it on, that had to be countersunk on both sides, because on the bottom it was like a screw with a, or like a nut against the deck with a, maybe a, you know, 3/4 inch screw coming out of it. And then that would go through the hole. And then on top there was basically like a post with a wide flathead that would screw down around that. So the hole had to be bigger than the threads, and it had to be countersunk on both sides. But we got it done, and it looks really good. Yeah. So,
well, there you go.
That's that. But it was very annoying to work with, very frustrating. It just kept getting dirty. I eventually had to like clear it off my table. I used my nice craft paper roll and rolled out the sheet of craft paper, so it was nice and clean. And
nice.
I was like, ooh, it's coming in handy.
All right. Yeah. Well, let's move on to the main topic. We're going to have a little bit of a shorter one today.
Yeah,
folks, we've got some other stuff to do. But as always, we use the majority of the time talking about quotes and whatever before we get on to our main.
I love that about this podcast.
Yeah.
People's looking to like, you know, a little behind the scenes, what's going on in our lives.
Yeah. So collaborations, you want to talk about some of those ones we have coming up, ones we've worked on, and apparently you have a surprise collaboration I don't know about yet. So
I do, as of yesterday. So I,
Wrangler Star wants you to make an axe for him. Got it.
I think he can make his own axes.
But he wants one from you. That's how impressed he is.
Oh, okay. Yeah, probably. That's right. That's like when Chris Killinger reached out, or when he like commented on one of our videos, was like, that's a really good axe handle. I was like, oh, you know, he's like someone I looked up to as like, he makes and produces axe handles. You know, so it's like, if he says they're good, I'm like, all right, nice. That's coming from the top.
Yeah. Well, that's another guy we need on the, on the
Buck podcast. And Billy Ray. He uses Killinger handles and stuff.
Oh yeah.
So, so with collaborations, the one we were thinking about to talk about specifically is our collaboration with Alex from the YouTube channel Outdoors 55. And so we reached out to him, I guess, what was it? The beginning of last year, maybe even, it was the beginning of 2020.
Beginning
of this year. It's the beginning of 2020.
It's the beginning of the pandemic.
Right. Because for Christmas in 2019, you got for me and Drew and Derek and my dad, our dad, boxes of machetes. Surplus machetes, which is awesome. You know, like this Christmas, you open up a box, it's just full of machetes, all different types. We're like, yeah, it's the greatest Christmas gift ever for boys. So we had these machetes, and we had this idea to like make a sword or something, make something out of the machete. And I think you had the idea, like, what if we make something fun? And what if we do like an exchange? So who can we reach out to? So we reached out to Alex from Outdoors 55 because he's local here. He's kind of relatively local to us. We're here in Northern Maryland and he's in Southern PA. So we're, you know, 20 minutes, half an hour apart. And we'd been meaning to get together just to meet each other, cause we've been commenting on each other's channels and stuff for a long time. And, so we reached out to him and he was on board. He's like, that sounds cool. So we did go up right at the beginning of the pandemic, which would have been, I guess we went up in like March. Cause like, as we were getting ready, it was like right when the pandemic was starting. And so we had this idea that, you know, we would do the collab and then we did do an exchange at the end, and we'd be wearing like full like painter's suits or like full, like, you know, whatever it
like
is.
A pandemic, like
contamination suits and stuff. So, and then, know, or like a wall between us and doing like.
And then, and then it got slightly serious, and we said, "Oh, this pandemic thing's not going away. Maybe we shouldn't make light of it."
So we did. So we started our build shortly after that. So we probably started in March. Mm-hmm. We filmed it and did the whole thing. If you guys have seen it, you know, we take a machete, cut the handle off of it, and then we're left with just the blank piece of steel. And from there, I did some designs, and we made it into a pirate saber. So ground it to the right shape, you know, did the bevels, ground down the tang, and put on a wooden oak and symbol. What we used is like a phosphor bronze symbol, the metal in the handle, and then use that same material to make a guard, and then took an old bolt that I had, this big bolt in my scrap mm-hmm. steel bin, and made a pommel out of it. And that was the collaboration. So we did that in March, with the intent that we would both do it. And like when we exchanged it with him, he actually started right away and sent some pictures and stuff, and was like, you know, I'm working on this. And he messaged me a couple times. He's like, I'm grinding down too much. I'm going to end up like having to like, a knife to exchange for a sword. Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
So, and then in the pandemic, and you know, it just happened that like he didn't have any time. And if you guys know Outdoors 55 and you follow his channel, you know that he's been fairly MIA for quite a while, just because of life hit, and you know, it's just his situation. He didn't have time to do video stuff, which is perfectly fine. But the thing about the collaboration, which was great, is that we actually got to go up and meet him and exchange the machetes and hang out and talk knives and hang out in the shop and talk life and just get that next level of community, like the maker community, you know, that's like, there are other people out there doing the same thing we're doing, and we're all, you know, we all have the same like concerns, and you know, we've had that same thing talking to
it's
different
like,
YouTubers.
It's like going up to channel. It's like going up to Slaysman Forge talking to him. It's so nice just to get together with people, and now even more so, we obviously feel that through this pandemic, but man, that's why I'm excited to go to the maker thing up in New York and a bunch of other things. Cause we want to meet people and talk these things and just hang out with like-minded people. It's really nice.
Yeah. So yeah, it was just great to be able to do that. And that was like the best part of that. So we did end up putting out that video, I think in October, you know, after a couple discussions with Alex, the idea was that we would both do it, and then we'd wait and we'd film like an ending thing where we exchange them, and then we both put out our videos, which we'll still do if and when Alex gets a chance to do it. If he does, that's great. If he doesn't, that's fine too. So that was fun. That was a super fun build. As I was watching it, I was rewatching it and thinking, when I made the pommel out of that bolt, something dawned on me about that build that we never really talked about. And I think I never really thought about it too much before, but everything in that build was made from something else. So the main sword blade was made out of a machete. The guard was made out of an old symbol.
Yeah.
And the pommel was made out of an old bolt. So it was like, it was like this, like, you know, remaking, reusing, recycling build.
Yeah.
To make a new sword, which turned out great. It's funny. I never thought about it during.
Yeah,
you
that,
know, it was
that,
like,
that could have been a good angle too.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Something.
Yeah, yeah. Pirate sword from scraps.
A sword made out of this pile of trash.
Yeah, exactly. And we know those do well because we see them all the time. People are like, "What can I make out of this? Out of nothing?" You know. Right. Yeah. So that was fun. That was a cool collaboration.
Yeah.
We have another collaboration which we're currently working on, and we've talked about this a little bit on the podcast, and this will be our next video we're working on, which is the Giotto knife build off. Now, we're doing this with a bunch of other knife makers and YouTubers. We have, let's see, I want
to
see if
you
I can
try to find the whole list.
Yeah. So we have Aaron from Ailey Knives. Mm-hmm. He and Dennis from Tyrell Knife Works, I think it was kind of their main idea, and they started reaching out to people. Then it's Brian House from Housework on YouTube and from the Work For It podcast. Eric from the River's Edge Experience. We have James Keaton from Redbeard Ops, who we've had on the podcast.
Mm-hmm.
We have Keaton from Faraway Forge. We have Raphael from Cerber Knives. We have Steve from Green Beetle on YouTube. And we also have, hold on 1 second. I want to see where, like, I'm looking at stuff, but I'm not from a list. We also have, I'm just trying to find his actual name. We have Blackbeard, Blackbeard Works, Blackbeard. I'm trying to think. I don't know why I can't remember his name off the top. His,
yeah, that's him on YouTube.
Yeah. But Blackbeard on YouTube. So he's our biggest, YouTuber. And then, you know, we have a good selection of a whole wide range of people. And the great thing about this is that the idea was like, all right, well, let's do this challenge. You know, we got invited. They reached out, hey, you know, see if you want to do this challenge with us. This kind of YouTubers will all make videos of making these knives, and we'll let the viewers choose who they think is the best. It was great. Awesome. But yeah, what's come out of this is more of a collaboration than a challenge. It's like, hey, we're a whole bunch of knife makers who love making knives. Let's all get together and make the same knife, and we'll chat about it all the time. So now we're like, there's right, all these, like, just like all the way through this whole process of back in January or February until the videos come out, which will be in June. We've all just been chatting and showing pictures and getting to know each other and giving each other advice and stuff. And it's just super cool. It's like Blackbeard Projects. Sorry, that's his name. Blackbeard Projects. But yeah, it's been really cool to be able to have that experience and meet all these guys and chat and stuff, and you know, just meet new people. It's really cool. Yeah. And I think it's something that we'll do again in the future. They're going to do different builds and different challenges, and so there'll be different people invited at different times. So it's just a really cool way to just build out the community in that type of collaboration.
Yeah. I'm excited to work with all those people. And I was also, we talked about before, maybe starting up our own Discord so we can talk to everyone else too, all like podcast listeners and people in the channel. And if people make stuff and they want to reach out to us, or we want to learn some stuff from them, because obviously there's a lot of awesome makers out there that don't have YouTube or don't have that type of stuff. They just sit at home and make amazing things that no one sees. Yeah, right, so it's maybe exactly. Start a Discord where we all can get together and just have show our projects and share our stuff, so they can, we can have that part of the community too, not necessarily just people that are in front of the camera, but everybody.
Right. It's awesome. Yeah. So I was just looking through the dates. We're actually, May 21st, the challenge video will be posted. That's when they're going to post a video about, like, well, I guess we'll maybe post a video about the challenge. And then June 1st, the videos need to be done, Dev.
All right.
Let's do it. So, yeah, we're on, what are we at, 13th right now? So
yeah,
we'll spend a couple days, we'll make it, and then, should be good.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, yep. Yeah. So, that's cool. And so
the surprise.
Yeah, sorry, I'm reading this thing as we're done. I got to put that away. I'm like looking more into it. I'm getting into what's happening. Yes. So the surprise collaboration is that Ben Butler from the Work For It podcast reached out to me on Instagram.
Cool.
And he said, so hold on 1 second. Come on. I want to get back to it so I can actually see his actual message. Go back to home. Here we go. Okay. Boy. All right. Sorry. You know, I've done a lot of stuff on the phone.
You got to screenshot these things.
Right. So he was listening to episode 42, which was two episodes ago, and we were talking about the smithy. And we mentioned in that episode of the podcast that we thought about doing the sign, the Sadie Smithy sign. Just kind of talking about it and kind of brainstorming as a thing. So he reached out and he said that he would be, if we were interested, he would be honored to make the sign for us. So I was like, that's awesome. You know, he said he's got a CNC machine, which he's been loving making. And if you guys don't know Ben Butler, you can check him out on Instagram, Ben Butler on Instagram, and also find him on the Work For It podcast with Brian House. They do an awesome podcast together. So listen to him there as well. So he said, you know, he's basically wanted to figure out what we wanted to do, if we wanted to do a metal sign that was different, but he'd be happy to do like a wooden sign, something like that. So I told him I was like definitely interested. But what I told him as well is that I want to reach out to Mike Hawkins, who had the idea of the name, Sadie Smithy, and get his input too. So we can do this kind of, we can do a design collaboration between the three of us, come up with a design, and then send it over to Brian, and Brian will make us the sign for the Smithy.
Ben.
Ben. Yeah, Ben Butler. We'll send it over to Ben, and Ben will make it in his shop, which is super cool. So yeah, I let him know that we'd reach out. You know, you and I would talk. We'd reach out to Mike Hawkins, and then, you know, Ben can send some ideas, and we can all kind of collab on this design, and then that way we'll have the design hanging there, and it's a little bit of everyone, you know, Mike Hawkins, who came up with the name, R. Smithy, and Ben Butler with the CNC machine. And it's funny, his thing was, he sent a message back saying, it's like, what did he say? He said, something with a nod to the old school immediately comes to mind, but I'm also tempting to add some color with a little epoxy. And then in parentheses, he said, because you know it's impossible to be a woodworker these days without epoxy.
Right. Are we going to put a river through it?
Yeah, exactly. a river sign. It's like, right. It's impossible. I thought it was really funny. He put a little like smiling face, laughing cool. face after it. But
no, that's great. That'll be fun. Nice.
Yeah, that'd be super cool. So that's our newest collab in the works as of yesterday.
Cool. Right on.
That'll be good. Yeah. So that'll be fun. Yeah. So we're excited.
Sweet.
All right, we're going to wrap it up a little bit early, like Devin said, just because we've got stuff to do. So, Dev, do you have a recommendation this week?
Yeah. Now I'm going to have to pull mine up after I... there we go. See, but I screenshotted it. So
I screenshotted my recommendation. Okay. I just didn't know I was going to be doing all this other stuff on the fly.
I've been watching clips of Tales from the Tour Bus, which is by the it's tales of music and bands and famous musicians, they're like funniest stories, right? Okay. And or not necessarily funny stories, but just these stories. And Judge, who did Beavis and Butthead and King of the Hill, he narrates it, and his company animates it. You have great, I think the whole first season was like country, and then the second season was all like funk, black artists. I don't know if that was the, like, maybe he went too far on one side, or he just like does genres, you know, like the first is country. The second one seems to be like 80s funk, and like he does one on Prince. He does one on Funkadelic, which of course they've got
nice,
awesome stories because they're all on drugs the whole time, and they do you know, but the one with
awesome illustrations.
With Prince is hilarious, and it's yeah, and it's all Mike Judge animation, which is great. It's great, great animation, funny. You know, I mean, it's King of the Hill and Beavis and Butthead. Like, come on,
yeah,
two of the funniest animated shows ever. So
that's sweet.
Anyway, I think I don't know if they've done more than two seasons.
Okay,
but there's two seasons, and I've been watching a lot of the clips on YouTube, and I want to watch. It's just great. I mean, it's both things I like, you know, stories about music and musicians, and then cool animation, and it's really, really cool.
So you're finding it on YouTube? How you're searching Tales from the Tour Bus?
Yeah. Just do Tales from the Tour Bus on YouTube, or right on. I think it's on like. So I've just watched like all the clips, as many as I could,
right?
In little 2-3 minute things, but they're all good, like individual stories. So I'm not sure what channel. It's like Showtime or something weird.
Right.
Something that I don't really want to subscribe to. You know, it's like, maybe I'll do the trial. But
yeah, to watch the two seasons. Yeah.
But just look that up on YouTube, and there's so many good stories about funk bands and country bands and Willie Nelson and Prince and Rick James and Funkadelic and all this great stuff.
That's awesome. That reminds me of that show that was on for a while. I forget what channel it was on, but, you know, 10 years ago or so or whatever it was, there was like animated animals animated with like doing they had people's recorded voices saying things, and then they animated animals saying them. And like, so it'd be like a scene with like 3 or 4 animals, you know, like 3 elephants, and they'd all be talking from this recorded audio from something else completely, from people talking about love or like people talking about, you know, family and stuff, and then they would like have the animals doing it. I can imagine, like, so I have that in my head for what you're talking about, like having this animated scene of people doing stuff.
Yeah, it's great.
Cool. Cool. My recommendation this week is Dave Franz on Instagram. Dave Franz is a blacksmith, and so I think I was talking last week about the May for Makers 2021 that I've been doing some stuff with, and I've missed a couple of days, and I'll try to put some here and there, and I'm actually going to put out today after this. I'm going to go get a good picture of the sword build, because today, I think it's today, right? Yeah, 23 hours ago. Maybe this was yesterday. Day 12. Yesterday was day 12, which was crazy build time. So, like, crazy things you built. So, I'm actually going to put a build of the sword, because I think it was kind of a fun and crazy build.
Nice.
But what he posted today is what I want to recommend. You can check him out on Instagram. It's at Dave, D-A-V-E, underscore Franz, which is F-R-A-N-T-Z, and I'll put that into the show notes. But he posted for his crazy build, he has the dual forge cart that he built. He's been working on it. He's been working on it for about 6 months. Now, this forge cart is a cart on wheels. It's probably about 3 feet wide by 2 feet deep. On the right side, the right 1 foot of it is a propane forge, front to back. And on the left side, the remaining 2 feet square is a coal forge.
Ooh.
So he has a coal forge and a propane forge on one cart. And he has a hood built over top of the coal portion of it. It has a leg that's coming out 45 degrees or so from a support down below that's holding a hand crank blower for the coal forge that's attached to it, that's welded on. It's so cool. It's like the coolest forge cart that I've seen. And it's perfectly big enough to do anything you want. You know, the forge he has on there's a two burner chili forge, so it's kind of long. You know, it's probably the full 2 feet, and then the coal forge right on top. It's got a little shelf below, got casters on the bottom. It's so sweet. I was like, when I saw it, I was like, damn, that's so cool. It's pretty sweet. So check out Dave Franz on Instagram, Dave_Franz.
Cool.
He's a good dude. He was actually, and he's right up in Harrisburg, PA. He was up at the Blackthorn Hammerin, Maker Hammerin. So Maker Camp up the Blackthorn, they do other stuff, but they've done a couple Hammerins now this year. So maybe we'll go up to a Hammerin for a day or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a little bit of a long drive for us from down here in Maryland, but you know, what are you going to do?
Yeah. We'll definitely have to make a weekend out of it.
Yeah. Right. So cool. All right, man. Well, we're going to end it here. So thank you guys all for listening. It's been fun. We have some more guests line up coming up, some fun stuff, and we'll reach out. And if anybody's interested in joining us on the podcast, you can always reach out as well. Send me a DM, send us an email at The Art of Craftsmanship, theartofcraftsmanship@gmail.com, or at The Art of Craftsmanship on Instagram. If you want to hang out with us and chat, and you got some cool stuff to chat about, let us know. And we'd love to talk to some new people. I saw AA Forge was on with JD Knives on Instagram. I popped into their Instagram live a couple nights ago. That was kind of cool talking with them, and JD sent me a message afterward, and he said he was excited to have me on because I was one of the people that he watched a lot of in the beginning when he started making knives 2 years ago. He said us and Simple Little Life. I was that's a good company right there. So it's pretty cool. It's funny, the longer we go, that the more we're influencing new makers, which is just super cool. I love it. It's great.
We're getting old.
Yeah, right. Oh, you guys have been around forever. You're the old school guys now.
A 4-year-old channel.
Whew, man. It's no joke. He's like, he said he had a YouTube channel, so I told him I'd check it out. He was like, it's not very much. He's like, I don't do much on it, but, you know, I appreciate it. So,
right on.
All
right,
guys. That's it. Thank you guys all so much for listening. You know, you can always find us, The Art of Craftsmanship, on YouTube. You can go over and follow both of us, The Art of Craftsmanship and at The Art of Camera Guy on Instagram. And if you want to support our channel and our podcast and all the stuff that we do and all the content we put out because we love doing it, you can go over to Patreon and support us there, patreon.com/The Art of Craftsmanship. And you can also just share this podcast and tell your friends about it. And that is super beneficial too. Listen and let us know what you think.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you guys all so much. It's been a blast, and we'll talk to you next time.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.